took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor David, and you're listening to Glorious Day, and I am with my good brother.
Pastor Barry.
Yes.
That's me.
And this is, we have a lot of fun doing this. You know, and we said last time, last two programs actually just, you know, we raise questions we may not answer.
Mm-hmm.
Issues as the Lord leads us, and we only have much less than 30 minutes. So most of the questions that someone has can't even begun to be articulated in 30 minutes.
That's true.
But we try to cover some ground. We pray that the Spirit of God is speaking through us. We're trying to listen carefully to what God says.
Well, we're thought-provoking.
We are thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that that continues. If you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about, or maybe you say, I'd like to add to that discussion with the following point, you can email us at the following email address. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. We'd love to hear from you. Even if you don't agree with us, that's all right.
It's okay.
You know, and we'll try to put a response back. One of us will be thoughtful and, you know, provocative maybe again. But do let us know. Your thoughts, and especially if you like what we're doing, we'd like to hear that too.
Mm-hmm.
So the theme for tonight, and this is a central theme in salvation, is God's mercy, a free gift at the heart of the gospel. And my brother Barry desires to read the from the Gospel of Luke, so I'm just going to turn it over to you, brother.
This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. The Good Samaritan. One of Jesus' detractors, desired to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed him by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he had came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set on him his own animal and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Wow. You know, I love the fact that Jesus gets right down to the meat of the matter, to the point.
He does.
You know, as we've been talking about in the last several programs, sometimes we might have a little fear or hesitation in standing up and proclaiming what's right. Not Jesus.
Nope.
You know, this detractor may have been one of the who's who in the zoo as far as a Pharisee or Samaritan, as a Sadducee. But he just stood up to him and said, "You go. Do." I love that.
It's a powerful story of, and of course, for our purposes tonight, the theme of mercy really emerges, mm-hmm. and it's God's mercy, which the world doesn't really understand.
Mm.
Now the world sort of thinks it understands justice, you know,
mm-hmm.
because justice is being talked about all the time. and not often in a proper context, but it's being talked about.
Human justice.
Human justice. Mm-hmm. And for many people, and certainly for people in the world, that might be the pinnacle of goodness coming into their life is, you know, I received justice today. And I'm not decrying, I'm not saying this, it's wrong to think of justice or that justice in general is not well appreciated or understood, but how we often use it as Christians needs to be reassessed, I think, because what is justice? Justice stands in contrast to mercy in the scriptures, because justice is what you deserve. It's no more or no less than what you deserve. And so when you take then that definition of justice and apply it to who we are as imperfect, broken human beings, the best of us who are going to sin, and now in relationship to God, sin is an affront to God. You know?
Amen. So, and David, when I look at this, who walked by the man that was laying there bloody and dirty and half dead and naked?
Yeah.
You know, I love this parable because Jesus is calling people out. A priest.
Yeah, a priest.
What kind of priest? A Catholic priest? Well, they didn't have Catholic priests back
then. No.
This is a priest from the temple.
Right.
Walked on the other side of the road. And you have to wonder, why did he do that? Just like the Levite. Why did he do that? They were honoring the law.
Right.
That guy looks pretty dead to them. I'm not allowed to touch a dead person. That's against the law.
Plus, he's a Samaritan. Obviously, his clothing and maybe other marks on his body or whatever gave him away.
Right. And then this guy who was, you know, hated by every, you know, but a Samaritan as he journeyed came to where he was. Jesus pointed that out. You guys think of this guy as less than you. He's a pariah, but he's the only one that would stand up and do what's right for this broken man over here.
Right.
He was calling everybody out. You know, I'd like to have been in that crowd, David, just to look around as Jesus was speaking. Let me see, who's standing in this crowd? Because it wasn't in a vacuum. It wasn't in a room with only two people.
No.
There was a crowd of people listening. And was that crowd looking back at their own Pharisees and priests who might have been in the crowd saying, he's talking about you guys?
Yeah.
I don't know how much compassion and love was given to them from the temple. I know they received their rules, but as far as an arm on the shoulder, a hand on the shoulder, you're going to be okay, buddy, I got you. I don't know how much of that they got. But this Samaritan went way above and beyond the call of duty.
Yeah.
And we can learn from that. Some people might see the guy in the corner that's kind of schmutzy looking, with the cup out and the little broken sign that is usually misspelled or illegible, they'll throw a dollar in there and then drive on. They'll try not to make eye contact. Oh, gee whiz, I hope he doesn't touch my hand when I give him the money.
Right, yeah.
Now, if that was a Samaritan, I think he would give him more than a dollar and take him aside and just see if he was okay and what were her needs. What was his needs? Why is he standing there begging?
Yes.
What happened? The rest of the story. Samaritan did that here. And, you know, when I go to heaven, there's certain people that I see in these stories and parables, and this might have been based on a real situation that Jesus witnessed. I don't know. But I want to talk to some people, particularly the people in that crowd that day. How did this change your view on things? Did this have a big course-changing life experience, just hearing the words of Christ tell you to go and do this? Because I don't think he was just telling the educated folks who were in the crowd, you know, whoever this one who was a detractor. He was talking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All the folks standing there, you go and do. And there are times in our life where the Holy Spirit said, David, Barry, you go and do. And it doesn't make sense sometimes. Me? Okay, I'm not equipped to do that. My wife's going to be concerned if I step into that situation, but you go and do. And that's a blessing.
Yeah.
If you have the wherewithal and the strength and the faith to go and do. I have a story.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah. No.
And you have some great stories.
I may have told this before, but whenever I've helped out in a local homeless shelter preaching, it's when I feel most like a priest, most like someone who's a minister of this gospel, most like someone who's listening to God saying, go and do, is when you take care of the homeless who are in the woods. And I don't know if there's a good place to be homeless, but Florida in the heat of the summer is not a great place.
Yeah.
Because these, listening to us on this station, I got to tell you, my friends, we have a large homeless population in Martin County, St. Lucie County, up into Vero, down south into Broward. They're out there. You don't see them all the time. They're not always standing in front of a grocery store or another venue begging. They're living in the woods.
Right.
And they are men, women, and children. And anyway, I set up a church service, and the folks literally walked out of the woods, and we had church. And I saw this one fella who was pretty filthy, David. He was pretty aromatic.
Mm-hmm.
And he was smiling and just so engaging. And when he spoke, he was fairly well educated. And you couldn't wipe the smile off of his face. Apparently, a month before, he had lost his home, his family, his job, everything. And those were the clothes he was wearing a month ago. So that'll give you an idea of how aromatic things were. And he ended up in a camp, and they took him in. They took him in. Now, in the homeless world, you got to be careful where you go. You're either accepted into the little group of campers, they call themselves, or you're not.
Yeah.
They do some weeding out. Now, they're the only ones that would let him in. Them being, we'll call him a Samaritan today. They let him in. They fed him. They told him where to go to get this, that, and the other thing. Helped him out. And he was ever so grateful because he didn't know what to do. He was brand new at being homeless and broken.
Sure.
You know, you got to start somewhere. And so they took him in. Eventually, he found his way to social services and got himself squared away. That's the rest of the story. But I always found it interesting how the smallest of the small, the least the last, will find a way to help others in a worse situation than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that gives me a heart filled with joy and hope.
Amen.
And I was told by the director of that particular center, if you want to find Jesus, go into the woods.
Yeah.
He's with the people that society walked away from because they were unclean, they were dirty, they were scary. Yeah, they were quote unquote those people. And I can't help but when I see this parable that Jesus labeled this poor unfortunate as one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wanted to touch him with a 10-foot pole. And lest we think we're better than that, think of the last time that you saw someone in rough shape. Did you stop? Did you do what Jesus said to go and do likewise?
Yeah.
That's a gut check time. Did you do it? And if it happens again, will you do it? Will you help them out? A little more than a dollar in a bucket.
Yeah, if you pray, if you ask God to lead you, you might end up doing a great deal more. Mm-hmm. But another point that comes out of this parable is that God will always lead us to do the unexpected. Mm-hmm. And mercy is the fruit of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's God's mercy that is at the heart of all of this stuff. And but who does he use? He uses people that are listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we end up often doing unexpected things,
mm-hmm.
powerful stuff.
And the average Joe would look at you saying, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
I would not have picked someone like you, right?
Exactly. And that's why Jesus uses the Samaritan as the good guy here to help out this person. And he's also, he didn't have, he loved everybody. He did. But he loved them as God loves them, but he didn't love their sin. And he saw in many of the Jewish leaders of the day, the Pharisees, Sadducees, all of the sects of Judaism, and then the leadership in the temple, the priest, the Levite, the scribes, and they were all, so self-important, self-righteous.
Right.
And yeah, they were following the letter of the law, which is where their pride comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, you know, was saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm the fulfillment of all that.
Yeah.
And said, no, we got to do this. And so he got their attention. I could just imagine, you know, for a lot of us today, hearing this for the first time, well, first of all, if you're hearing it for the first time, you haven't gotten any biblical basis, so you'd have no clue of the enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. You know, I mean, the Samaritans, as far as the Jews were concerned, were scabrous heretics.
They were half-breeds.
Yeah, and they had some different ideas that, you know, that didn't line up with the law of Moses and the Torah, you know, and so they were, you know, they were almost like lepers, you know, that you wouldn't want to get near one. And so to put mercy into the character of the Samaritan turned everything around. And that's Jesus loved to be that radical. So it also made them see their own leaders, you know, in a light that was not very
complimentary.
That's a good word. I didn't say supportive, but complimentary is a much better word.
Don't we see this today, David, in the church? I mean, in the 30,000 different divisions of Christian churches, we see some that are God-honoring, and they don't have much, and they have a leaky roof, and the windows are not hurricane-proof windows, and the collection plate is rather scarce.
Mm.
They'll go out and hand out water after a hurricane and feed the poor in their little rundown kitchen in the back. Whereas some of the high-priced churches don't have those kind of ministries. You know, what comes to mind is a church locally that you and I know that is by no means, no stretch of the imagination, wealthy. You know, they still have toilet problems. And it's an old church.
Yeah.
No money to speak of. And they're feeding pretty much the entire county at 700 to 800 meals per week versus other churches that will defer. Well, if you go to that address, you know, poor David, if you go over there, you can get yourself a week's worth of groceries. Well, thanks a lot.
Right. And we're just sending. We're not really. People will say that's not fair. And it may not be in the larger issue because some churches are doing other things. We can't expect every church to do everything.
Other things, but, you know.
Let's hope they are. Yeah. So we're not trying to disparage those churches.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to point to is, you know, at the end of the day, is that what God wants us to receive is his mercy. So we know that our salvation is not because anything we've earned. We can't earn it.
Mm-hmm.
It's free and unmerited grace. If you ask Jesus in your heart, you get free and unmerited grace. You get God's mercy, not his justice. And because, you know, frankly, if all I got was God's justice, I have no hope. I mean, or anybody's justice. You know, I have no hope because I am a sinner.
Without Jesus, you'll be dealt justice.
Yeah.
You don't want that kind of justice.
No. You want the mercy.
Right.
That's at the heart of the gospel that, you know, I believe I don't deserve to be saved, that my sin, which I repent, but I can't, you know, I can't get rid of it. It's there. It's part of part of my, I guess, spiritual DNA. But when I stand before God after I'm dead and there's that day of judgment for everybody, I know Jesus is going to be right there at the defense table, and he has already worked so that I'm going to be acquitted. I'm going to be able to spend eternity with him.
Because the Holy Father's not going to see all those stains, all that history.
He'll see his son and say, you know, all right, you got, and he could say it's a life sentence in heaven.
I'll take that. I will take that.
But it's just that simple. But we have to keep focusing on God's mercy because I think as people living in a broken world, ourselves not being perfect, and sometimes our own brokenness overwhelms, and enemy uses that. He loves to come in behind a revelation, you know, and clutter it up with lies and you know, like someone would go and paint a beautiful mural on the side of a building.
Right.
You've seen those.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the revelation that God gives me. And then the enemy will come by and post bills on it. You know, like
circus is coming to town. Sales, yeah, 80% sale,
right,
sale.
And cover it up. That's what the enemy loves to do.
Yeah.
And he will also, the enemy does love to pervert our understanding of God's mercy. And he loves to turn it into, you know, a hackneyed, erroneous discussion of justice.
Which creates, unfortunately, it creates other religions.
Yeah.
Yeah, religion of, well, you can't get to heaven unless you earn it. You got to go through steps. You know,
absolutely.
Whatever that is. And, you know, the thing is, Jesus always set the example, and not only in what he says, like in here in this beautiful parable, but in what he did. And he was ready to give mercy to those hammering the nails into his hands and feet. Give mercy to those who were blindfolding him and slapping him around and everything else. And you have to wonder, do we have that kind of strength?
Hmm.
Just to follow this, you go and do likewise. Simple little sentence, was it 5 words. You go and do likewise.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so easy on paper.
It is, but
you know, but it requires faith. It requires a knowledge of just who Jesus is.
And trust.
And trust. Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that often gets in the way of our doing mercy is, and I think a lot of this, I don't like to give the devil too much credit, but one of his lines of argument is, you know, if you do that for that people, they're going to want more and more out of you.
Oh,
you'll never be able to. It's like feeding a stray cat. They'll keep coming back.
They'll never take care of themselves on their own, or
really?
Come to me. They're going to go to you for every meal.
Oh, you know, and but the truth of God is, you know, we don't know how God wants us or anybody else to really help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I was pastoring churches, and you know, you're out there in the bricks and mortar churches, and you know, the people find out where you are, and you get a line of people every day that looking for a handout, and some of them need it, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. And a lot of it, you just sort of have to, okay, Lord, I got to pray, tell me what, you know, and they're right there with their hands out, and you just, what I've done generally is to take, okay, I'm going to give. Now, most often, they ask for food, I would say, okay, let's go get some food. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of know, because some people would say, you know.
Right.
And if they really needed it, man, they would go with you. Or people that wanted gas.
Let's go fill up your tank.
You know, often had an arrangement with a local gas station. This is back before you had debit cards and they had the credit sheets.
Oh, I remember them.
And they knew I was good for it. So I'd write so much money for gas, my name, church, and give it to them. And then I'd send them a check out of my discretionary fund.
Mm-hmm.
But the point, you know, is God, everything God gives us, we don't earn. And you know what? When it comes to God's mercy, I'm going to come back again and again and again for the things God wants to give me.
Amen.
But I guess I say, I don't mean unfortunately, although I use that word, but unfortunately, God's going to use his people like us to be the ones to whom they are sent.
Yeah, we're not going to be asked by God one time.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
I did that check off in 1999. I did something that he asked me to do, so I'm done. Doesn't work like that. It's a lifelong giving, a lifelong obedience to Christ.
Amen.
He might use you every day.
And to some degree, he does. I mean, it's not just the doing when you're helping someone who's down and out, but is he calling you to be an intercessor, to pray for mm-hmm. people? Some people have a gift of giving, you know, and they give a lot.
Right.
Or maybe they're very wealthy, and so it looks like a lot to us. But or they have a personality that is so inviting for people to speak to them, and therefore they can unload their burdens. I mean, we have a lot of gifts. Most of us have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And are, you know, are we using them? Because every gift we have is an avenue of mercy for the living God.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to write that one down.
You write that down. Yeah, because I'll forget what I just said. So write it down for me too. But no, every gift we have is an avenue for the mercy of God to reach somebody's life, and not to count the cost. You know, because Jesus paid the ultimate cost on the cross for us.
That's right.
We will never be asked to meet that cost. And every expense we make of our spiritual energy, our earthly goods, whatever, it's a time of joy and really joyful giving.
Mm-hmm.
And God's the best giver, and he's the first giver. I just think the church needs to really get that today, the church, the wider body of Christ. Well, I would like, our minutes are slowly evaporating.
That does happen every time we're on this program.
I know it does. We keep going, and suddenly I look at the time, and I'm appalled at how much little time we have. But I would like to offer a prayer, if I may.
Wonderful.
Father God, I lift up to you all the people within the hearing of this broadcast, and anybody else you know needs to receive your grace, Father, today. There's so much confusion about this one thing that is so significantly a part of your person, and that's mercy. It is so incredibly embedded into the gospel message. It is seen in the life of Jesus and all those who follow him, that it is your mercy that saves us. It's your mercy that protects us. It's your mercy that guides us. And we just pray here, Barry and I just come together, and we pray for all of our listeners that a clarity of mind and spirit that you would grant to us about your mercy and your justice, because they're both very important. But that at the end of the day, for all of us, if we can say that in some way, even to one person, we have mediated your mercy, Father, we would go to our sleep with great peace. May that understanding be imparted to us through your Spirit today. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, brother.
Yes, brother.
Until next time.
God bless you, and goodbye, Tom.
And goodbye, Tom. That's right. We forgot the last two times. Thanks for listening, Tom.
Amen. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Serve you, love you all my days.